Fuck, episode, are we on 12? I think that thing's at 6 times 2. Oh, yeah, what? Mic check, 1, 2, 3, testing. Some mic? Where's the mic? Tap it. That always sounds great. Mic check, mic. Oh, the meters are just out of control. Maybe it's working really well. I think we're on episode 12. Yeah, I'll be back with a proper introduction. Guess what? Good news, Alice is back. Yeah, Chloe sent me a bunch of email. Okay, she sent me the same email twice. Yeah, I'll be back. Whatever. You guys don't get sound clips this week, except from Chloe. Because I don't think anyone even listened to last week's, and that was a lot of work. That annoying thing that you probably hated was a lot of work. Ugh. Okay. Well, it's been fun. Okay, I'm going to do a normal intro, but I may have to do some modifications when I... a little inside baseball. When I play with the material that I receive from Alice, it may impact. Hi! Welcome to the Cormorant Cafe. My name is R. Wesley Edwards. I am the Cormorant. You can call me Rob. My co-host is Alice, annotated Alice, a.k.a. Chloe something. In her real life, she's a school teacher. In my real life, it's obvious what I am. A fucking coastal shorebird. Waterfowl. Not waterfowl. That's like something you eat. Like a duck. Anyway, welcome to the Cormorant Cafe. It is 7:15, probably, hopefully, if I didn't fuck it up. Today we have some shenanigans, as Alice calls it, with her and I, well, mostly her, and then I have to play off of whatever she says. And let me see, I wrote you guys a story, which I have helpfully advertised as Arabelle's Curse. That son of a bitch was 10.5 pages, which is probably too long. Not by a lot. I was thinking it would be 8 pages or 7, and then it was this... That makes me think I put details that are unnecessary in the story. Anyway, meanwhile, there's a lot of garbage news and a lot of unnecessary death as usual. And of course, the death of reason continues with social media. So, business as usual, I guess, 2023, continuing on from this fucking century of fake information and just the death of objective fact is just too much for me. Too much. Nothing. I'm thinking about a specific thing that I can't talk about because half of you, at least half of you, will act like I've killed a puppy, and the other half of you will quietly agree with me but not defend me in public. Because that's how it is these days. Just fucking perfect. Where was I? Welcome to the Cormorant Cafe. It's 7:15. If any of you fucking people want to come and read on the mic, be my fucking guest, but I don't think you will, because I would have known by now. So it's just me and Alice, and the me part is this, and then reacting to her, and the story I wrote you. So, what else do I say? Oh, we also have the bartender. I'm sorry. I mean, she is a bartender, but the barista. And, it's confirmed that Jill's not coming back. Well, she will, but not immediately, because her new girlfriend, Celine, has an aunt here in L.A. Well, we are in Orange County, but you know what I mean. L.A.'s not far, and those two chicks are going and staying with the aunt, and she's, what's her name? She has an Azteca name, Mazel. Anyway, she's in L.A., she runs an art gallery. That's enough. I'm sure she'll show up to dropping Jill and Celine off into Alice and Mike hair. And Letty can go back to her day job next door at Larry's, the normal bar taken over by lesbians. What? It's a thing.
Hey, Rob. It's Alice.
Uh-oh.
I know I kind of died for a month. Hey, Rob. It's Alice. I know I kind of died for a month when I went to go get Jill and her girlfriend. So some things happened, and that's why my phone got taken out of service, which is why you couldn't get hold of me and why I couldn't get hold of you and couldn't get a new phone. Somebody stole my credit card and my identity. Anyway, don't worry about any of that. I took care of all of that. I am coming back this week. I'm on my way. Don't be upset, because Jill's not coming. Call me back. Bye. So next time I go on a gigantic road trip to go rescue star-crossed lovers, I probably shouldn't take you too, should I? No, Lily. Should I take you on the road trip across the country next time? No, I shouldn't. Princey threw up in the car and ate Frosty from Wendy's. I know, Lily, it was exhausting, but we're going to go back to Cormorant Cafe this week. We're going to go back to open mic night. I swear you're wagging your tail. Yes, you are. You're excited to go back. Yes, you are. I am, too. Oh, still there. Yeah. Hey, Rob. I'm on my way back, and I'm with the dogs, and I'm taking a pit stop, and I'm bored, so I'm gonna leave you more voicemails that you probably won't listen to. So Jill and her new girlfriend are doing great. Finally got them out of the Bronx, which was incredibly scary. I saw a machine gun fight break out in a gas station when I went to go get batteries. Don't ask me what the batteries were for. I was doing Jill a favor. And, may have gotten mixed up in the mafia a little bit. And, she wanted to go to L.A. And, obviously, those two places are nowhere near each other. And then my car got broken into. Somebody left the coat hanger that they used to jimmy my lock in the handle of the car, no less. And then got angry and stabbed another coat hanger through the window. So then I didn't have a car. And we sort of had to hitchhike back to California. That was... That's a story for another day, man. I can't even go there right now. But, Tiger Lily and Prince are good. They were good with me through the whole trip. I will never travel with both of them ever again. That was a mistake. But, so Jill has this aunt in L.A., and they're gonna stay there. I thought we were gonna just, stay the night and then come back
to
the cafe.
Jill's family is in Harlem.
They informed me they are not coming.
Marcel is saying
I will tell you why later. I can't wait to see you. I hope we have volunteers for this week. Do we have volunteers?
Just you.
I'm so out of the loop. It's like I haven't existed for 3 days. So, yeah, I'm gonna get going again. I had to do people some favors and get my car fixed. My window is now made of duct tape, but it's good enough. I'm gonna get back on the highway. I'll see you later. Bob, it's Alice. I'm getting closer. So funny story. After they told me that they weren't coming back to the cafe, I had to go to New York, where we were. And,
of course.
I had to go take care of some things. And, okay, Rob, here's the truth.
The truth.
Here's the truth. I'm very sorry I hid this from you. I am from another timeline.
I blame Dylan. Blipped here this summer.
To California.
That's not a good place to get blipped to.
But when I was going and getting Jill and her girlfriend...
You got blipped back?
I don't know what interspace BS happened, but something blipped me back to my regular timeline, and...
Emphasis on BS.
I'm a teacher.
In the normal timeline?
So, being that I was back in my regular timeline, I did not have an excuse to not start the school year with my students.
Obviously.
So, I needed to go do that.
It's hard to lead a double life, I understand.
And then... I don't know how, but I blipped back to this timeline.
Well, it's good to have you back.
I don't know how to do that.
That's okay.
I don't know if I'm going to be at school on Monday. But I'm back in California.
Yay.
Apparently in this timeline, I'm the co-host of the Cormorant Cafe podcast with you.
Yes, it's
like
And
in
like
the other timeline, I never met you, and I'm just a teacher in upstate New York.
Okay,
so,
it's not like Heather at all.
I don't know if that means that I'm both people in the timelines, and when I'm in one, I'm missing from the other.
Maybe it's pause.
So, like,
call me back
or text me, and let me know if you saw me at all in the last 30 days or heard from me, because...
Nope. Heard nothing, saw nothing.
I think I go missing from the other timeline. I think I may have replaced the Alice in the other timeline.
Who knows? Who knows?
And... Yeah, when I'm a teacher, I'm not Alice at all. I'm just Chloe. But I like my Alice name. It's my artist name. And I think that's this timeline's actual name for me. I don't know. I think the me in this timeline is gone. I don't know where she is.
You've gone crazy.
I'm actually very concerned that I may be switching places with her.
That poor woman.
Jump timelines.
You get to play teacher for a little while.
So I wonder if I stay in this timeline with you, if she's going to go teach my classes on Monday, and that would be
Does your husband go back and forth with you?
Because I don't know anything about her, and I don't know if she's the same person as me. So, P.S., if you see a doppelganger of me, that's
I'll kill the
not me.
She'll kill her. I'll kill the bitch.
Knows nothing about open mic night, don't talk to her.
No, I'm going to kill...
Because that's not me.
I'll kill her.
Something really weird is going on, and I don't know if it has to do with Jill's coffee, or if it has to do with... Feywild shenanigans
you
in the forest.
You have to badmouth Jill and her
coffee. So, I'm going to talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Let me tell you something. You know, I wonder if your husband goes with you. Do you have two husbands then? That's got to get complicated. Do you feel the slightest moral qualms? Okay. Anyway, what was I going to say? I was going to say, the doppelganger? No, I'll just murder the bitch. The first time she doesn't know the secret word, that's it. That's the last. All right. Well, those were the voicemails. Make of it what you do. Okay. Maybe in the alternate timeline, Jill has family in Southern California, but it turns out she has family in Harlem, or friends in Harlem, or wherever the... She has people on the East Coast. She has no one here. She's here because this is as far as she could get to get away and still be in America without going to Hawaii, because Hawaii is expensive. See, I do know some stuff. So, I happen to know that Celine, that's Jill's girlfriend, has an aunt, and the aunt has a art gallery in LA, and I know that they're staying with her, and I know that it's getting on her nerves, so I anticipate those two chicks coming back anytime now, And that'll solve the problem of Letty spiking the lattes. But I'll miss Letty. She's a good sort. Sharing her girlfriend's expensive German cigarettes with me. Even though I totally don't smoke, so shut the fuck up. All right. Are you guys ready for my story now? I bet you are. So, there's a story that I wrote a couple weeks ago, but I don't know how to put this. When I say it like that, I mean that I had it worked out, but I hadn't actually put pen to paper. Expensive German pen. Huh, kind of like those cigarettes. I really need new adjectives. Maybe I should get one of those adjective starter kits. Where was I? Ah, yeah. So I had the story worked out, but I hadn't really written it down. And then I was getting kind of procrastinating. And I finally finished it. It's 10.5 pages, and I'll just read it now. So, enjoy. It's me being a woman again. What's her name? Michelle? No, Meredith. I'm being Meredith. Meredith is going to show up again in a story with someone named Jane Crazy Pants, who is a kind of a daredevil stunt coordinator person. One of those people that you see doing the things and, you know, like movies and whatnot. You know. There you go. A little preview of the future. For now, enjoy this. This is Arabelle's Curse, which is today's story. It has absolutely nothing to do with the long six-story story arc that we finished last episode. Okay. I'm R. Wesley Edwards. This is Arabelle's Curse. Okay, so as I said, I'm R. Wesley Edwards. This is a short story called Arabelle's Curse. It's actually longer than the usual short stories that are around 8 pages, but because it's 10.5 pages. All right, well, here we go. Arabelle's Curse by R. Wesley Edwards. Mark. Oh, shit, break something. Drop the microphone. That's not good. All right. Wow, this is going to be a lot of homework later. Arabelle's Curse. On Thursday, I had a plan to visit Botanical Gardens in Manhattan Beach. It is a hidden gem, or at least that's what the Google reviews always say. On the day, I took the book I was reading, Desolation Angels by Jack Kerouac, and I sat on a park bench near the waterfall, enjoying the white noise, and I took out my novel, the way you do, and the air changed. And I probably wouldn't have noticed, because it was subtle, but the scent of ozone accompanied the effect, you know, that slight smell you get when there's going to be a thunderstorm or whatever. I sniffed, I looked up, and lo and behold, I saw a young woman on the footpath, and she was practically naked. She was wearing what looked like black underwear, the bra and the panties, and the closer you got, you would see it kind of had an orange, kind of a lace mesh overlay. And she had shockingly orange hair, kind of red hair that bordered on orange, I guess. She had apparently collapsed or fallen on the path, so obviously I stood up and I just shoved my novel into my bag and I went over to the woman. And her eyes fluttered open and I noticed that her eyebrows were also orange, so I guess that's natural. Anyway, when her eyes fluttered open, they focused on me and she said hello. And I said, "Are you okay, miss?" And she nodded, and I was about to return to my bench, but she reached out, so I took her hand and helped her up. And I asked again if she was okay. She said she was. I came back to the bench and would have returned to my reading, of course. But when I looked up, there she was, right at the bench. So, anyway, I took out my book, and then the young lady sat next to me, so that was a little awkward because she's practically naked. And as I was saying, it was one thing to check on her in the path with her wearing, you know, what looks like underwear.
But this now, so I took off my jacket and I put it on her shoulders and I said, "Aren't you cold?" And then she says, "I'm not cold." And then, well, actually, she kind of muttered it. And then I said, "Wear my jacket anyway. People will stare, and I'd rather they did not." And she said nothing, looking down at my jacket. And then I asked her her name. "What's your name, miss?" She took a long time, but eventually replied, "Arabelle." And, but that was pretty much all she said for like a minute and a half. And then she seemed to have noticed the jacket, apparently. And then she ran her fingers along the seams, kind of the inside seam where the buttons would come together. And she said, "Thank you." Which seemed like she was thinking that my expensive beige denim jacket was hers now. And so I told her my name is Meredith, and I took her hand in a weird kind of forced handshake. She then repeated my name in a strange way, where she kind of called me Michelle, but I said Meredith again. And then she said my name again, and as if she was feeling it for leaks. And I guess I gave up reading Kerouac that day. And I turned and I asked, "Where are you from, Arabelle?" And she said, "Your clouds." She was looking up, so this was, to say the least, an ambiguous answer. I followed her gaze and saw nothing special. "Where?" I tried again. But she lifted her right hand and pointed at one of the fucking clouds, so I laughed. I did, I laughed, and it was just too much. In fact, this whole experience was beginning to annoy me. This was not the plan, and now I needed to get my jacket back and get rid of this girl. "Look," I said, "I have to go." She turned and said, "Where?" I wanted to say Nanya, but instead I said, "Home, I should do laundry." But she said, Arabelle said, "Oh." She visibly perked up. She says, "I can help you with that." And then I was like, "What? Really?" And then she says, "Oh, no, no, wait." And then I said, no, you should get yourself home and, dressed. And then she said, I'm dressed to help you. And then I was like, "What?" And then kind of in my head, it was like, no. And then I said, "You can't come with me. You should go home." And I go home and I can have my jacket back. And then I said, "Can I have my jacket back, please?" To her credit, Arabelle took off my jacket and kind of closed it and folded it and handed it over. My first thought after that was to run, actually. Not that it would have been beneficial. She was pretty determined to follow me and, quote-unquote, help me. But I did stand up. I stood up and said, "Okay, so you have a good weekend." It was Thursday, remember? And I put out my hand to shake hers, but she took my hand and pulled herself to her feet. And then she said, "How much laundry are we talking?" I couldn't process this statement. It made no sense at all. After what felt like a small eternity, I said, no, you don't need to help me." But she put her hand on my wrist and said, shh, yes, I'll help." And somehow this convinced me. I mean, I remember it this way, but what? She then simply followed me to my car. To be honest, I did need to do laundry. But I hardly can ever be said to need help doing it. It's just the two of us. Anyway, people still stared, and I was pretty embarrassed. I was pretty embarrassed most of the way to my car. And getting us both into the parking area, much more so the car, was thus a relief. I didn't think about it. We were together, and I just had to deal with the embarrassment. But in retrospect, it seems like I was being compelled, maybe, somehow reacting to her touch. But how do I know that I'm not just adding these details? It has been a long time. Anyway, at the time, as I said, it just seemed like she convinced me, and then, like dealing with a drunk or inappropriate friend, you deal. I drove home. I don't even remember what she and I talked about, if we spoke at all, in that short duration. I may have processed that this was all strange when I parked, because she touched my wrist again and then we went in. And then it gets weird and awkward.
My live-in boyfriend, Bob, was already home from work, and he reacted to Arabelle about as one would expect. Obviously, this is me being retrospective, but he couldn't decide if I'd gone crazy and was suggesting some kind of three-way sex thing, or if she was some kind of charity case, or some kind of, I don't know, costume-made situation. If I'm charitable to him, he was doing an admirable job of not acting too excited. And to be fair, if somebody offers you a maid, you should probably act excited. Anyway, Maribelle, meanwhile, was walking around the apartment collecting anything remotely laundry and making a collection of that she carried around, To Bob, I shrugged, I put down my bag and my purse and sat on the couch with him. I tried to tell him what happened, but I didn't tell him that her touch compelled me or whatever. I don't think I realized that at the time, or maybe I'm just adding it now. And anyway, we heard her in the laundry room, and I got up to help her. I was pretty resigned at this point. It was as though she was a found puppy or a long-lost sister in one body. And Bob, that first day, pretended to be neutral. In retrospect, this seems like a point in his favor, but the situation rapidly deteriorated because... After doing laundry, which she did every part, including putting away clean and dry clothes, she demonstrated disturbing behavior, and I, sadly to say, didn't notice at the time. Probably any sensible remarks from me would have brought a gentle touch to the wrist or whatever it is she does, and I'd go back to thinking it was a settled situation, found puppies, lost sister, whatever. She sat next to me, or followed me, or anything that could be construed as work she took upon herself, or helped to such a degree it usually felt like her chore, and I was simply an unnecessary extra hand. But the first disturbing thing was, obviously, eventually I needed to pee, and then we, that is to say, Arabelle and I, were making dinner, which is to say, Arabelle was making dinner and I was being in her way. Anyway, I went to use the restroom, and a moment later, she knocked softly at the bathroom door, which I guess the cooking was on hold. Anyway, I of course say, just a minute. I may have, you can imagine, said this a little loudly, you know, what with being startled and talking through a door. Now, it's my place, and I wasn't in the habit of locking the bathroom door, but I saw the knob turn slightly, but she apparently changed her mind and went back to the kitchen, which I probably turned white as a sheet as I was about to jump up in midstream. Anyway, so when the toilet flushed, Bob knocked, and obviously I'd finished, so I ushered him in with a quick look behind him. She wasn't in view. He asked me about her, and I repeated the thing about reading Desolation Angels, and she appeared on the footpath with ozone smell. Even now, I remember the stillness and ozone smell. Bob and I agreed, or he convinced me, I don't know. She was odd and acting a bit proprietary towards me, but that a maid and a cook was a nice thing. I'll admit this was probably me trying to justify my own weird behavior at that point. But anyway, after dinner, and then again at bedtime, more awkward and inappropriate, and bordering on creepy behavior. She, of course, wanted to help me change into my pajamas, and I probably would have let her, but Bob gave me a look, and I was all, nah, it's okay. So she stayed on the couch with Bob, and I suppose he thought we were keeping her there, on the couch, I mean. The way you keep, like, a puppy that you don't trust off the carpet. Anyway, then it was bedtime, and this after watching what? I cannot remember on the television. Probably something Netflix and chill would normally be, but we had this house guest or whatever. They sigh. Anyway, we watched whatever for a couple of hours, and then she, of course, tried to come with us, with me, to the bedroom. Bob, in what must have been an heroic act of mental discipline, insisted that that was weird, which seemed to be news to me. That's how strange I'd become by then. And he took her by the arm and made her a little nest on the couch. And lo, she did stay there all night.
But in the morning, well, it was Friday and Bob had to work, which turned out badly for him, kinda. Anyway, he may have had some presentiment about this because he was a little more affectionate than usual, and he made me a coffee before making his own with our little individual coffee making machines that we all have now, the little pods. Anyway, but he left, he went, and Arabelle joined me in the bedroom, and I, at first, of course, I reacted like, no, 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 you know, bad puppy. But maybe she got a wrist touch in, I might be adding these details. And eventually we were sitting on my bed together, and I with my coffee, but otherwise forgetting I was in a long-term, you know, heterosexual relationship. Bob who? By the time he came home from work, early, because he knocked off at lunchtime, and I think I can understand. Anyway, I was completely gone, and he had to all but remind me of who he was. And it's not like Arabelle was malicious or something. I'm not trying to suggest she was even acting in any kind of, how can I say, less than innocent way. I mean, I didn't know, and I wasn't reacting like I was sexually attracted to her, I guess. Just like she was my found puppy or long-lost sister. It's just that person who lives at your house. You know what? Never mind. I'm not sure I can justify my behavior. Anyway, but she did, at this juncture, manage to explain, while Bob was on the edge of tears, you know, faced with, as he was, faced with the very real possibility it was going to be it was going to rapidly deteriorate into a Bob or Ari situation, and he probably didn't stand a snowball's chance in hell of winning the contest. So she unfolded until then unseen wings to demonstrate this, and it turns out Arabelle is an angel. And as I was the person who approached her after she fell to earth, I was her quote-unquote companion, and that can be taken to be a euphemism for love interest, because it turns out angels have a curse. And to put it simply, they rapidly fall into romantic love with their companions and become kind of pouty stalkers if the situation, as it were, is unrequited. No, they become creepy pouty stalkers. Bob was convinced by the wings thing, but was thus immediately plunged into a quite literal "what about Bob" situation. Somehow the whole explanation and wings thing snapped me out of it, and I was actually mad. I said it was quote rude and quote inappropriate and cruel. Maybe she should find straight men or gay women or get angel counseling or whatever the fuck. Somehow, I was now more on Bob's side than even Bob was. He was acting like I'd won a contest and it wasn't his business what I did with the proceeds. Even her gentle touch didn't persuade me. I mean, assuming that it ever did, I don't know how it works. I was angry. But maybe it did, I don't know. Something. It may have done something, because I started self-righteously defending Bob in our existing situation, and then after that, it's kind of a little bit of a haze. Because the next memory I have, we were some kind of, let's say, progressive polyamorous threesome. Just put all that in quotes. It was as though Bob and I decided to seduce our mate or something. And that was more or less how things remained for 7 years. We've got some humorous stories of her learning to drive, and we have some other humorous stories of short little flights. Never mind. Nothing worth writing. I was saying, that's how things pretty much remained for 7 years. But, yesterday, Bob and I couldn't find her when we woke up. She's just gone, as if she was never there. Come back, Arabelle. We miss you. Okay, I'm back. Well, that was this week's story, Arabelle's Curse. The main character, once again, the POV character is Meredith. And, oh, there's that name again, Bob. It's a really common name, honestly. It's totally not a lack of imagination on my part. Totally. Okay, you know what? Every time there's going to be a threesome situation with two chicks, the male is going to be me. So, that's just a new rule. Just get used to it. Alright, well, that was my part. I do not seem to have any updates from our mutual friend Alice. So perhaps she has not decided to submit any reading or off-page or her work-in-progress novel thing. So I guess that's all. You have my story and Alice and her voicemails about her parallel universe doppelganger. First time that bitch doesn't know the secret word, telling you. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I hope you liked my story. I'll be back in a few minutes after I smoke with Letty. This has been the open mic night at the Cormorant Cafe. The mic is closed. Well, it's never closed. It's open for next week. Don't forget to tip Letty. Don't forget to tip your barista or your bartender or your gynecologist. Just tip everybody. We're all fucked. The economy's gone to hell. Where am I? Oh, yeah, right. Thank you, Alice/Chloe. Thanks, Letty, for giving me that latte that made me ill. I mean, it wasn't your fault. I shouldn't have drank it. I needed food, not caffeine. It's fine. Whatever. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Thank you again, Chloe, Alice, annotated Alice. Thank you, Letty. Good night. Have a good week, you jackasses. I thought I was in a quiet space. I was wrong. All right. Well, enjoy the cow.